This brother Billy, I'm saying good morning to each one of you. Pray the word of God's going to bless you today. If you got your Bible, turn with us over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 is where we're going to begin looking, and we're going to say some things about a man by the name of Esau. We'll also go over to another place and skip around a little bit. But as the choir sings that song, I cannot find my way without him. So many of us today can say that, can't we? You know, it's a special time of year when I celebrate the time that God saved me. It was the third day of May. And so as we're right here in that season, I tell you, it's special. Brings back memories. How that 27 years ago, God gloriously delivered me. And I knew nothing about grace. Knew nothing. Didn't even know what grace meant. Knew nothing about the work of God. Knew nothing about the call of God. But somewhere along the way, God imparted little by little. He imparted his word into my heart. And then the night the call came. You know, God called me on a couple different occasions. I do recall that. Matter of fact, 2 years earlier, I could have been saved. But God was calling me. But there was no repentance in my heart. And so therefore, imparted faith, saving faith was not imparted. You know, saving faith is the gift of God. I pray you understand that it's what God does. And so when we say we got saved, that means we received saving faith. God imparts it. God has to give it to you. I know if you're like I was so many times, this terminology was way over my head. But I knew one thing, and I thought about this as I listened to preaching this week. I didn't know much, and I was sharing with my family, I didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know where anything was. Didn't know anything about this terminology stuff, but I knew one thing. Spirit of God was speaking to me, and you know what he was speaking to me? I couldn't find my way without him. And so many times God says that. I think he'll say that to someone today. That without Christ, you cannot find the way. Jesus said, I am the way. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So to say what the point we're making is said right there in that verse. We can't find our way without him. We don't even know where the way is. But Jesus said, I am the way. And I pray to God, if you're lost today, you're struggling with something, you're in a backslid state, Spirit of God's speaking to you, God's dealing with you, he's calling you back home from a life of sin. You've wandered out there, you said, preacher, I've made a mess of things. I've messed up my life, my kids' life, my wife's life. I've made a mess, a big mess. I'm going to tell you, God's in the business of helping those that are good at making messes. And I'm glad he is. That's how I got in. God received me, a sinner. I'm talking about wicked of heart, wicked of mind, wicked from top to bottom, head to toe. Wicked inside and out. And the Spirit of God called me. I have great joy and great hope that God is still calling people today. And you know how he does it? He does it by his word. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 said. And so if faith cometh by hearing, that means somebody must preach. And Paul also dealt with that in the same book of Romans. And you know what he said? He said, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And so God sends preachers, and God sends preaching. He said, I don't like preachers. I've never liked preachers. Preachers are this, preachers are that. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day, a time when you're going to pray God would send somebody by. We have this account. We've got the account right there in Luke 16 where the rich man said, send Lazarus that he may go back and tell my family. I've got 5 brethren. Remember how many he had? Luke 16 told us this man had 5 brothers. We don't know who the rich man was. We don't know him by name. But we know he had 5 brothers at the house. And hell was so hot. Hell was so hot. He prayed that Abram would let that little beggar boy come over and dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. Just any kind of relief. Hell is still hot today. We were out by the fire the other night watching and sitting around with the kids and talking and sharing. What a perfect time that was. But you know, as I kept throwing those little old dead limbs up on the fire pit, God began speaking to me, hell's still hot. It's still hot, hell is. And so we need to be reminded. People around us have been dropping off. I'm talking about people dying, literally dying right here in the community. Just seemed like every day somebody else died. Phone rings. This one over here is dead. That one passed. Go by their signs. Come by a man's house the other day and had the signs out, funeral signs. And I thought, well, my God. And so I inquired, what happened? Yeah, he's gone. And you know, one day those signs are going to be out by our place. And those funeral home signs are going to be on both sides of our house. That black wreath's not going to be on somebody else's place of business. It's going to be on yours. And it's going to be on your door. And the call of God's going to come. And they're not going to, you know what's going to happen? They're not going to come pick up your neighbor. They're going to come pick up you. And so death is certain. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause and Christ the cure. And so we need to be reminded of this. Titus 2:11 is where we're going to begin reading right here. Watch what he said. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Oh, let that sink in. Jesus said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the grace of God, it's God's grace, and that same grace that brings salvation hath appeared. I thank God it's appeared. The Savior appeared. No, the Savior didn't lay out. You know, people today, they're bad, want to lay out. And say, what happened? Well, it was just laid out. Whether it's work or church, whatever it is, we laid out. And I'm glad Jesus didn't lay out. The Word of God said that the saving grace of God appeared. You know what that means? Bless God, He showed up. That's going to be another appearance. You know, there were many appearances of the Lord. He appeared in a manger. He appeared through the womb of a virgin. And we see it. He appeared in men and women's lives all throughout His ministry. And He appeared, thank God, He appeared on a cross. And He appeared, bless God, on the third day when God raised Him. He appeared to Mary, to Peter, and to the disciples, and the two men to Emmaus. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? They said we knew there was something different when He spoke those gracious words. I like that place over in Mark where He said, and they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. Those are gracious words. Luke's gospel speaks of those too. Gracious words. When God calls a sinner, when God calls one home, when God makes Himself known. And Paul said, that same grace of God hath appeared to all men. And what's He done? He's revealed saving faith unto lost men, women, boys, and girls. And He still speaks it today, the grace of God does. He's appeared, and what's He done? He's appeared teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we could preach the rest of our 30 minutes right there on the 12th verse. Not only has God appeared, but He's appeared as the great teacher, teaching us. But I'm going to tell you something about this ungodly effort today to keep the minds of men and women intoxicated, to keep their minds in a state where their thinking's unclear. At marijuana, drugs, crack. They got stuff today you can't even keep up with the names. They're making it so fast. You can't go today and get medicine for your sinuses because of the no pads in America today. And so we got pill shops and pill doctors. We got people running halfway across the United States to go get the pills, to bring them home to a black market somewhere in the mountain woods. That kind of stuff happens. And so what did Paul say? Paul said the grace of God's teaching us. It's a teacher. I'm going to tell you, when God saved me, He began to teach me. And you know what He began to teach me? He began to teach me immediately. Now, I done told you I didn't know anything. And so there was a lot of teaching to do. You said, preacher, God can never get me where He wants me to be. Oh, yes. He's the great teacher. And the Spirit of God. and the convicting power of God begins immediately to work. And the Holy Ghost says, you might want to stay away from that. And the Spirit of God says, they are one and the same, aren't they? The Spirit of God says, hey, you need to be over here. You need to be in God's Word. You need to be on your knees. You need to be in church. You need to be. What's it do? The grace of God that bringeth salvation. It does not just save us and leave us. It teaches us the great things of grace. And so here, he's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should, not that if we want to, it'd be a good idea. No, God said we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, you know what people say? They say that's impossible. It's impossible to do that. You can't live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Jesus said you could. Jesus said you can. He said, I leave my peace, I leave with you. I'm talking about one, the peace speaker, the grace giver. The peace speaker says, I leave my peace. He said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so what's God do? He gives us of His precious Spirit. He gives us power to overcome. He gives us power to prevail. He gives us power to go forward. And that's what saving grace is. It's Christ in you. It's Christ's power in you. It's the ability to do God's will in you. He said He's not only saving us, but thank God He's teaching us. I'm glad He's the great teacher. Look at the 13th verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Thank God you said, preacher, He's already come. That's right, He's appeared one time. But He's going to appear again. And Paul said that we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what's that mean? There ought to be anticipation in every heart of the person today that says they're saved, that the Lord will do what John prayed He would do. Remember what John prayed in the last chapter of Revelation? He said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That ought to be the prayer of every believer. Why? Because we're looking for. Peter said, we're hasting unto the day of His return. And so here, that the glorious appearing, it's not going to be something mundane. It's not going to be a little appearing where a few people find out about it. And people said, preacher, I just don't think. You know, they wonder at so many things in this world, and they ooh and ah. They got the ooh and ah syndrome. They ooh and ah about what this world does. But one day Christ will return, and He's going to split the eastern sky. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be such a glorious appearing. All mankind in the world. You said, what if I'm on the other side of the world, preacher? You'll still know it. What if I caught a flight to Beijing? You'll know it. What if I'm en route on a ship somewhere in the Mediterranean? You'll know it. All mankind will know when Christ Jesus returns. It's going to be such a glorious event. And He said, we're looking for that blessed hope. And not only that, but the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, God and Christ are one. We know that Jesus is God. There is a triune Godhead. You see, I've been taught all my life that there's just oneness. And there is a triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And He said it right here. Looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to further see this, go look sometime over in the book of Genesis, right there in the beginning, where God said, let us go down to the Tower of Babel. And God said, let us do this and let us do that. It's God. It's three in one. It's one in three. It's God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. And the Word said the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you another example of where you can see, because maybe, just maybe, some of you are wrestling with this matter of this three in one. We find it right there at the baptism of Jesus. Remember when Jesus told John to baptize him? And John said, oh, well, it ain't good for me to baptize you. You ought to baptize me. I'm not worthy to unlatch your shoes, much less baptize you. And he said, suffer it to be so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. And so as John baptized Jesus, he took the body of Jesus and baptized him right there in the River Jordan. And as he baptized Jesus, we know that a voice spake from heaven that said, God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, of whom I'm well pleased. And so God speaks from heaven. Christ is baptized in the River Jordan. And the Word said that the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the bodily fashion of a dove. And so here we have it, we see it, we see the picture, we see the type of the triune God and the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's going to happen? He's going to appear. And we're to be looking for that blessed hope. Well, I told you, we're going to talk about some things today that might change course a little bit. Go over, if you will, if you can. I know some of you are driving, traveling, what have you, working, you can't. But in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I want to talk about a man, because this is something that we oftentimes skip over and we don't key in on, a man by the name of Esau. Now, we're going to remember what we read, what God said right there by the mouth of Paul in Titus 2, 11, 12, and 13. But in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Esau, because Esau was such an interesting character. And I think Esau represents so many people today. And I really believe there are some people today in the audience that may find themselves in the position of Esau. And that's not a good position to be in. That's not where we want to be. We don't want to be where Esau was. And so maybe it's God's will that we talk about this a little bit. But in the 12th chapter, Paul, as he's preaching, I'm going to begin reading in the 13th verse, as he is admonishing the Hebrew people. He said, and make straight paths. I'm going to settle one thing. You said, preacher, how do you know Paul wrote it? Nobody said Paul wrote it. In my heart, Paul wrote it. Now, if you think somebody else wrote it, that's your business. But when Paul wrote, I'm going to show you a couple things that kind of settle it for me. And here we see this, where we find it that Paul is in a Roman prison. And here he said this, and I beseech you, I'm looking over the last page. I'm going to give you something on the fly right here that might help you if you have any doubt. I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter to you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Timothy had lots of relations with Paul. He was back and forth communicating to Paul, bringing him the things that he needed and bringing the letters and taking the letters back. Timothy was a great helpmeet to Paul. And so we find it here, a great helper. Let me say it like that. Timothy was the great helper of Paul. And he said, I salute all them that have rule over you and all the saints. Verse 24, they of Italy. Rome is in Italy, isn't it? They of Italy salute you. I trust that this is a Roman prison where Paul was, and he's talking about communicating with Timothy. To me, Paul wrote Hebrews. But that's irrelevant. Hebrews is inspired no matter who wrote it. And so we're not quibbling over that. If you want to think somebody else wrote it, that's fine. Well, let's not lose the meat of the subject matter. If I say Paul, that's why I say Paul. But here, make straight paths, verse 13, for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So what Paul said, make straight paths for your feet, because if you have something that's been broken or injured, you want to keep that where it is set back right. You want to set that bone. You want to support that tendon where everything goes back like it should be. If there's an injury, it's why we use splints and casts and things of that nature. And he said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I'm going to tell you, if it's healed correctly, that'll be a blessing to you. It's what Paul's talking about. But he's taking this and using it in a spiritual application. He's not worried about the broke foot at this time. He's worried about the things of the heart. He's worried about the things of the spirit. He's talking about those that may find themselves, watch now, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God's not changed his mind about holiness. He still calls men, women, boys, and girls to a life of holiness. And what is holiness, preacher? It's God. And when he calls them to himself, when he calls us to himself, he calls us to his nature. That we would be a partaker of the divine nature, Peter said. And that divine nature is holy. 1 Peter 1:16 said, "For be ye holy, for I am holy." It's written. God wrote that. He said that. He meant that. And Paul said, "We're to follow peace with all men and holiness." Looking diligently, I'm reading in the 15th verse, and we're going to take the next three verses and break them down here. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, what's that mean, to fail of God's grace? Well, he's going to explain. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Paul said, I'm going to warn you that you're to be looking diligently. What's that mean? We're not looking to the, you know, I'm bad when I'm driving. I'm looking to the left, looking to the right. Look at that house. Look at that. Look at them cows. Look at that barn. All that kind of stuff. Paul said, we ain't doing that. Paul said, we're looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. See, eternity is at stake. If you fail of the grace of God, it is not some temporary situation you're going to have to fight your way through. It is eternal doom. And so we can't express this enough. This is why Paul, it's why we took the time to read, where he said the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And we're not to fail of God's grace. We cannot fail. We must be sure that we do not fail of the grace of God. See, some of you, are you putting it off? I'm concerned. I'm watching all this death and dying, and God's reiterating it to me. People today are not taking the call of God serious. They're thinking, well, you know, and this one person, I just saw him in a place of business the other day. Everything was fine. I saw him, and I said, and so here he is in a place of business. Next thing you know, he's at the graveyard. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, looking diligently. And here, the grace of God's appeared to all mankind. And so watch. Paul said there's a warning in this message. A warning that men do fail of the grace of God. Men do get exposed to the gospel and they fail of God's glorious grace. And that's a terrible thought. Well, watch what he said here. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many times in the ministry, all these years of preaching, well, I've heard people talk about how something made them bitter. Somebody hurt their feelings. Something made them bitter. And you know what happened? They quit seeking and they quit searching and they quit looking for the things of the grace of God. And many of them died that way, never come back to church, never would have anything to do with the church again. And so you know what happened? They got bitter, or somebody treated them wrongly, and they were embittered by it. And you know what happened? They died at home, and I don't know their eternal fate. Hard to preach a funeral like that. Well, you don't know where they are. But here, Paul said what happens is people do fail of the grace of God. And there are those that have the root of bitterness springing up, and they trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, watch this, or profane person as Esau. Now here he's bringing up Jacob's brother, whose name was Esau. And Esau and Jacob, we know that Jacob was the twin brother of Esau, and as these two boys wrestled in the womb, they were striving on the inside of their mother's womb. You said, preacher, can't be so. The Word of God says it is. And we know that as Esau was the firstborn, he had the birthright. And the birthright in those times, ancient times, meant a lot more than it did today. The one that had the birthright received the double portion. And so Esau had the birthright. And the Word said right here in the 16th verse that he was a fornicator. And he was a profane person who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. As he and his brother Jacob strove in the womb, they also strove as young men. Esau was the great hunter of the field. And the Word said he went hunting and he wasn't very successful. I have lots of days like that. More days than not. And Esau came back, but this was not for pleasure. This was for eating. And the word said he didn't have anything to eat. And Jacob had a bowl of pottage, and he traded. Oh, they were some traders, great traders in the Bible. Nothing wrong with trading. I'm going to tell you, our whole economy is set up on trading. These boys were traders. And Jacob said, listen, I've got some pottage over here. And if you want my pottage, I want your birthright. And so Esau, watch now, listen, we don't have time to go back through the whole story, but this is what he's bringing it up right here in the 16th verse. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright, for one bowl of pottage. You know what that tells me? Esau put no importance on great things of value. The word said right here, the birthright was his. He sold it. You know what? That is the equivalent of people taking holy things and discounting them and disregarding them, and here we find it disgracing them, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, Paul said, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, verse 17, when he would have inherited the blessing. See what Paul's talking about? He is equating us selling holy things, us discounting precious things, even as Esau did the birthright. And you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. See, when it come time for Esau to receive that what would have been his by birth, he was rejected. No, he sold that. His mom and daddy knew that he sold it. It no longer belonged to him. And we find it how that God delivered Jacob out of the hands of Esau, and how his mother caused him and prepared the great meal and sent him before his dad. And the blessing, the double blessing, was Jacob's. And I'm going to tell you something about this we need to see. God will. I'm going to tell you, when people today, when they discount and disregard and spit upon the grace of God, that's what Esau done. The holy things meant nothing to him. And this is why Paul said that you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, there's going to be people today that's going to fail to the grace of God. And some of you today are discounting the grace of God, and you're not taking it serious. And God's saying something to you right here by the example of Esau. And God's calling you. The word said he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You said, preacher, Esau changed his mind. That's right, but he changed it too late. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all. Oh, man. You know what scared the daylights out of me? Even though I knew nothing about the Bible, I knew one thing. God's call was a precious thing. This is what Paul is saying right here. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The call of God's a holy call. And although I knew nothing about the Bible, I couldn't take you to one book in the Bible. I couldn't quote you one verse out of the Bible. And so we see it, even though those things were so, somewhere God imparted to me that the call of God's a holy call. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, what happened? He was rejected. You mean God still rejects mankind today? Yes. Esau was a fornicator. Esau was a profane person. But Esau was brought up in the same house of his brother Jacob. He had the birthright. He had it. But I'm going to tell you, it was all in his grasp. It was his. And God today is calling some of you, and you know what he's saying? Saying the same thing he was saying to me 27 years ago. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Ye that are heartbroken, come. You said, preacher, my wife deserted me. My husband left our family. Christ said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know what I'll do? He said, I will give you rest. Oh, he'll speak rest to the troubled soul, to the weary heart, to that one that's cast down. You said, drugs and alcohols wreck my life, preacher. God will deliver you and set you free, and set you apart, and set you up. in the kingdom of God, lest there be any profane person or fornicator as Esau. What happened? He found no place of repentance, though he sought it. You said, preacher, I'll seek the Lord in my dying day. Esau, the word said, he sought it carefully, and he sought it with tears, but he found it not. You said, I'm going to wait, live it up. I'm going to live the good life, preacher. Oh, you know what happens when people talk like that? They don't even know what the good life is. The good life's being saved. The good life's belonging to God. The good life's being free in your soul, being clean in your heart. That's the good life. They say, I'm going to live the good life, preacher. And you know, I got some friends, and man, we know how to have a good time. Do you? Do you really know? I trust you don't. If you're talking like that, if you're talking about illegal substance, if you're talking about alcohol, booze, beer, whiskey, you're talking about smoking something, snorting something, doing something, injecting something. The word said he sought it carefully and he sought it with tears, but he found it not. I'm afraid we're living in a generation today of a lot of Esau's who are going to spit in the face of God, discount that's holy, reject God's precious call, and leave this world lost and undone, fools in their heart. Remember the fool of Luke chapter 12? The fool of Luke 12. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and build bigger barns. God don't care how big your barns are. Jesus is making an example. But God said in that parable, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall those things be? You know, everything you own, you're going to leave behind. Everything you own is going to be somebody else's. You just borrowed it for a little while. God loaned it to you. You say, I own it, preacher. God loaned it to you. When you're gone, who shall those things be? Preacher, I got lots of nice cattle, nice homes, nice properties down at the beach. When you're gone, whose shall those things be? Father, take your word today. God, I pray you'd speak saving grace to every man, woman, boy, or girl. Save them. Say, wake us up, God. Lord, if there's a fornicator in the audience today, Esau, a profane person, I pray you'd wake them up. Wake them up. Wake them up to the grace of God. Wake them up to seek your face. Do it, Father, right now. I pray, save men, women, boys, girls. Save them for your glory. God, change a life today, would you? God, I'd love to get a call that a life's been changed. A life's been changed. God called a sinner home. Oh, what a precious event that is. Father, do it now, I ask you. In Jesus' name, unto this time next week, may the Spirit of God bless you richly, I pray.